This morning, we're going to address a topic that we don't deal with very often. And it's a topic described by a very old-fashioned sounding word. Sabbath. Sabbath. I'd like to start by knowing what you think. And so when you hear that word, Sabbath, I'm curious to know what comes into your mind. If you have a thought, just shout out your answer. Rest. Okay. Anyone else have a thought? Israel. Oh, that's interesting. Yes, some people view the Sabbath as something for the Jewish people. Okay. Anyone else have a thought? The Lord's Day. All right. Time to get to know the Lord much better. Thank you. Okay. In the first service, somebody said, going to church. I've also had people answer that question by saying, Saturday or Sunday. And that's an interesting point that we will talk about this morning. That word Sabbath can mean or imply many different things to different people. But at its heart, Sabbath does mean rest, because it literally means stop. Stop from your labors. Stop all the tasks and activities at which you labor. And I believe that we desperately need to learn how to rest in the way that God intends, because we are a society of doers. We are driven by a need to accomplish things. We're driven by a need to be relevant. And we're driven by a desire to try and exert some kind of control over our lives. But I've discovered that our incessant doing does not lead to greater control. It just leads to greater anxiety. No matter how much we do, we cannot control the uncertainties of life. And simply by doing more, we will not reduce the anxieties of life. And the Bible makes it very clear that our God has a much better way for us to live. He wants to set us free, free from the need to always be compulsively doing. And if you and I can learn to rest in the way that God intends, that's when we will begin to experience freedom from the worries of this life. We will find peace and rest in the presence of our loving God. This morning, I want us to look at the biblical foundations of God's Sabbath rest. And then I want to offer some suggestions about ways that you and I can actually experience God's rest in our own lives. We're going to look at three different Bible passages today, and we're going to begin in the beginning, when God created rest. Rest for us. We find that in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Verses 2 and 3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And I love the biblical account of creation. We can learn so much from the first two chapters of Genesis, because we see how God establishes order and purpose and design and meaning for his universe. And in these first two chapters of Genesis, we get to watch and see as God creates everything out of nothing. He creates the living creatures, including men and women, who are made in his image and in his likeness. And we see God do all of this in a very deliberate and orderly way in six distinct periods of time. And at the end of these six creation days, God does something revolutionary. He rests. He rests. Now, his rest is not like ours. We rest because we're tired. God doesn't get tired. God rested because he finished his work. He finished the work of creation. And he recorded his act of resting for us here in Genesis because he wanted us to see the importance of completing a season of work and then taking a break. Taking a break to contemplate what's been accomplished. Taking a break to rest from labor. God wants you and he wants me to follow his example. And to help us do this, he established a rhythm to life. He created time. He created the week. And he created this week of 7 days, and every seventh day would be a day of rest. There's rhythm to that. There's a pattern to that. And that day of rest would be a day to honor the God who created us and who then rested. And God, in endorsing this idea of rest, even said that the day of rest was so important, he called it holy. Holy. Which means we need to view the Sabbath rest as an intensely spiritual act. When we take time to rest as God intends, it's not only good to rest our weary bodies. God is saying, I want you to rest in a way that is good for your heart and your mind and your soul as well. So in the act of creation, as God created rest, he was modeling rest for us. But that's not the only reason that we rest. There is a second vital reason that God gives us for embracing his gift of the Sabbath. And we find that reason in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel, and he is reiterating and recapitulating what God said when he established the Ten Commandments. And here he says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. God did more than just model the importance of resting for us. He tells us here that resting from work is a gift to remind us that we are not slaves. Israel, having been in captivity in Egypt for 400 years, desperately needed to hear that message. Think about that, 400 years. There was no one in their culture who had any experience of work as a choice. For Israel, work for generations had been a harsh burden imposed by their masters. And there was no joy in their work because all of their labor was for the benefit of somebody else. And now, thanks to God, they are free. And they can work as they choose. They can pick what they want to do. They can be farmers and raise crops. They can be sheep herders or merchants or shopkeepers. They can buy and sell real estate or be property managers. They have freedom to choose their work. And whatever work they choose to do, they now can enjoy the fruit of their labors. And now that they're free, free to work as they want, God does not say, work all the time. He says, take some time off. Take a day off for the Sabbath. You see, only free people can choose not to work. And when we voluntarily take time to rest rather than to work, we make a powerful statement that we are not slaves. But here's the tragedy. Far too often, we make ourselves slaves. We enslave ourselves to our work. And this is true whether we work for a paycheck or whether we're retired or whether we volunteer. It's true whether we work inside or outside the home. We experience work in a variety of ways, and far too many of us work far too much. And sometimes we work all the time. And when we work all the time, we're just slaves. I had a powerful lesson about this a number of years ago. I happened to read a profile of a CEO of a Fortune 500 company in Forbes magazine. And this man worked 80 hours a week and seldom took a day off. When he and his wife went on vacation, she was able to slow him down to only 40 hours a week. That was his vacation. Now, this man worked hard, and he was tremendously successful. He earned millions of dollars every year. He lived in a huge house. He owned several luxury cars and his own corporate jet. Now, our culture says those are the rewards of success. But at what price? I was talking about that CEO with a friend of mine. And he said something that has stuck with me for a long time. He said, "Bruce, this man may be a success in the eyes of the world, but he is not a success in the eyes of God. In reality, he's just a high-priced slave. He's a slave to his work, he's a slave to his need to make money, and he's a slave to his need to continually acquire stuff. And God gave us the gift of the Sabbath to remind us that we are free. We're free not to work because we are not slaves." And that was the moment when the light bulb went off for me in a couple of ways. One is I realized that up to that point, my view of success had been shaped much more by the culture than by the Bible. And second, I started to develop an appreciation for the Sabbath and see the value and the privilege of the Sabbath in a way that I'd never seen before. Our God deeply values the Sabbath for us. It's a gift to you and a gift to me. And he feels so strongly about it that he made it a command, as we read here in our text. Not a suggestion. It's a command. This verse that I read is part of a larger passage, which, as I said a moment ago, is about the entire Ten Commandments. And verses 12 to 15 here in Deuteronomy 5 are a detailed description of commandment number 4, the Sabbath commandment, where God instructs his people and he says, "I want you to work 6 days, and then on the seventh day, I want you to rest." Now, when we hear that word command, sometimes it might feel oppressive. We can view commands as burdensome, as restrictive. This is not a burdensome command. It is an invitation. It's an invitation to step into this beautiful rhythm of life that God has established. Work for 6 days, then rest for 1 day. Work for six, rest for one. Work six, rest one. There is beauty and rhythm and order to that cycle of life. What a contrast to incessant, compulsive busyness and doing. These two texts we've looked at are short. And yet we find 3 significant reasons why we should embrace the gift of God's Sabbath rest. First, we rest because God rested as an example for us. And second, we rest as a reminder that we are not slaves. And third, we rest because God commanded it so that we could enjoy some rhythm in our lives rather than endless doing. And because the Sabbath is a gift, our God graciously gives us a great deal of freedom in how we experience this day of rest. The Bible actually lists very few requirements for a Sabbath rest, other than to enjoy it as a day when we cease from labor. We cease from our striving. We rest in the presence of God and we honor Him. Now, when God first issued this command, the Jewish people took it very seriously, and that's a good thing. Unfortunately, they were so afraid of getting it wrong that they argued incessantly about what was work and what was rest. And they debated those issues in excruciating detail, asking questions such as, how far can you walk on the Sabbath? And if you're a physician and somebody sick comes to you, can you heal them or is that work? And if you keep livestock and your goat or your sheep or your cow wanders off, is it work if you go and rescue them and bring them back? They got completely bogged down in those kinds of questions, on and on and on, and they developed a list of 39 specific activities that were prohibited on the Sabbath. And those 39 activities inferred many more prohibited activities. So in their desire to get it right, they took God's command and they turned it upside down. They took a positive command, embrace the Sabbath and enjoy a day of rest, and they turned it into a negative command, don't do this, don't do that. And so the focus shifted from enjoyment of a day of rest in the presence of God. And the focus was, I've got to avoid all these prohibited activities. And you see, when the Jewish people did that, they unwittingly turned themselves back into slaves. Slaves to their man-made, self-imposed Sabbath rules. And so by the time of Jesus, the Sabbath had become an oppressive burden. And for many people, it no longer truly was a day of spiritual rest. So Jesus had to reclaim it. He had to reclaim this biblical idea of rest. There's numerous examples of that in the life of Jesus, but we see one profound one in Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Jesus wanted to draw men and women back to the heart of God. So throughout his life and ministry, we often see him doing things on the Sabbath that were unlawful and yet necessary and acceptable and appropriate. And here, because he and his men are hungry, they go pick some grain so they can eat. And Jesus even notes that the revered King David, in one case, violated the Sabbath law and violated the tabernacle laws by eating the consecrated bread there from the tabernacle. And Jesus' point is clear. Mankind is not slave to rules and regulations about the Sabbath. Instead, the Sabbath is a gift from God which we have the freedom to embrace. It's a day of rest for our benefit, and it's not going to be much benefit if we're starving. So if you're hungry, get some food and enjoy the Sabbath. Now, some people wonder about which day is the appropriate day for celebrating the Sabbath. In fact, some people get bogged down in this issues, but there's a legitimate question. Should it be Saturday or Sunday? God clearly instituted the original Sabbath on the seventh day of the week, and yet the Church of Jesus Christ just as obviously moved it to the first day of the week. So how and why did that happen? Well, it actually happened fairly quickly and without a lot of commotion. We see some hints of the beginning of this shift in the New Testament. Here's a couple of examples. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul encourages the church members to set aside money for their offerings on the first day of the week. Then in writing to the church in Rome, Paul also gives us some insight about the fact that churches are struggling with this issue of days. He writes in Romans 14:5, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Those early churches were wrestling with how and when to practice the Sabbath and how to do so in a distinctly Christian manner. And by the end of the first century, Sunday as the Sabbath day had become the established practice for Christians. And here's what I find really fascinating. This change took place under the oversight of and with the approval of the apostles, all of whom had been raised as faithful Jews. All of them viewed the Saturday Sabbath as sacred. And yet they helped shepherd this change from Saturday to Sunday with very little fanfare and without writing much about it. Why did they feel free to make that change? Because of what Jesus said. The Sabbath is made for us. And what's important is not the day. What's important is to experience the Sabbath rest. What's important is to experience the rhythm of life which God has established for his people. Work 6 days, rest one day. Work 6 days, rest one day. That's what's important. And so without altering the meaning or the substance of the Sabbath, the church simply shifted to Sunday. And they picked Sunday for very profound reasons. The first day of the week is the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It's the day that he demonstrated his power over life and death. It's only because of his death and burial and resurrection that the Church of Jesus Christ even exists. So Easter Sunday, the day of resurrection, was a day of new creation. What a perfect day to pick for Christians to enjoy a Sabbath rest. Now, unfortunately, our all-too-human tendency is to neglect or even misuse the gifts that God gives to us. And just like the Jews, we have forgotten how to embrace God's gift of Sabbath rest. The Jews became slaves to Sabbath rules, and we become slaves to doing. And we're doing so much that it inhibits our ability to rest. After the first service, somebody told me that Americans invented the rocking chair, and we did so that even when we sat down to rest, we'd still have something to do. We are compulsively doing. And God wants to set us free. He wants to help you and he wants to help me get back to the heart of Sabbath and enjoy his gift of rest. And yet in this modern world, we need to ask, is it even really possible to do? In a time when stores are open 7 days a week, when kids have sports and soccer and activities around the clock and all weekend long, when many people, including many of you, including me, work non-traditional schedules. How can we do this? How can we make room for any kind of a Sabbath rest? I want to offer three suggestions for us to consider. Suggestion number one, create Sabbath experiences. Now, ideally, I believe that we all should work toward having a day of rest every week. But in our current culture, it's difficult for many people to carve out an entire day for a Sabbath rest, and a lot of people don't have Sundays off. But with a little bit of planning, we can create some Sabbath experiences within a day, which means we can begin to create some needed rhythm in our lives. And here's an example. I know a couple, husband, wife, professional people, who work different schedules. The only day off they share together is Thursday. And so they very intentionally have made Thursday morning a Sabbath experience for themselves as a couple. Here's how they do that. They get up, they have breakfast, and then they go somewhere for a walk. They leave their cell phones at home, very wisely. And as they walk, they keep conversation to a minimum. It's a time just to be alone with their own thoughts. It's a time to listen to the sounds of nature around them. So they walk for a while, then they find a place to stop. And when they stop, they each open their Bible. They just quietly read. They ponder what they've read. They pray. And then they take a few minutes to share with each other some insight they've gleaned from what they've been thinking about, or their prayer time, or the Bible. Depending upon how long they've stayed out that day, sometimes they bring a simple picnic lunch and enjoy lunch before they head back home. But whenever they finish, they head back home, and then they do what we all have to do. They dive back into their schedule, their routine of chores and errands and the work of daily life. But they enter back into that refresh because they've experienced a Sabbath rest that they created for themselves. And they stepped away from work and labor and activity, and they stepped into a time of connection with God. Now, that particular approach won't work for everyone, but let it encourage you to think creatively about your own schedule. Let it stimulate your thinking. How can you create an experience of Sabbath rest at some point during your week? Suggestion number two, rest from required activities. Now you see, every required activity, whether it's something we have to do for our employer or something maybe like household chores, every required activity is a form of work. And the idea of the Sabbath rest is to take a break from such activities because those are the things that drive us. And when I look at my schedule, and I'll bet when you look at yours, you'll be amazed at the number of activities and the number of deadlines that are self-imposed. We shackle ourselves to our busyness and to the demands of doing, and then we are not able to experience the rest that God wants for us. Because we keep doing things that drive us and compel us. And if we just take time away from work, our employment, and then make our slaves to other tasks that we've put into our lives, we've missed the point of the Sabbath rest. And I think that our willingness to take time off from doing to rest ultimately really has to do with our ability to trust God. Christian author Dorothy Bass addresses this issue when she writes, "To act as if the world cannot get along without our work for one day in seven is a startling display of pride that denies the sufficiency of our generous Maker." I can't get that quote out of my head because I think it's true. When we take a break from our responsibilities, it's an act of faith. We're trusting that God will be sufficient and He'll provide what we need for that day. And so we should trust God enough that we're willing to rest from something that's required and give ourselves some breathing space in our lives. Here's an example from my own life. Because of the nature of my work, it's very hard for me to experience Sunday as a day of Sabbath rest. Tuesday is my day off. And so I very intentionally try to create moments of rest during that day. Moments to pray. Moments to read my Bible and sit in the presence of God. Moments to reflect on God's goodness to me. But I also deliberately rest from required activities that drive me. And I don't know what items drive you, but one of the things that drives me is email. Responding to email is a task to which I can be chained. It's a compulsion to check and see who's after me and then start responding. I need a break. Not just from work, but from that required activity that potentially enslaves me. And so I rarely respond to emails on Tuesday, and I find that when I let it go, I experience some emotional and spiritual freedom. I actually rest better. So that's just one example of something I do. What can you do to let go of a required task that drives you and compels you? And can you trust God enough to let go of it for one day? Suggestion number 3. Engage in community worship. One way, certainly not the only way, but one way to experience Sabbath rest is to come here and be part of God's family on Sunday morning. And when we come, to come for the right reasons. Come to worship God. Come to allow ourselves to experience moments of connection and reflection and renewal as we worship together. When God created rest, it was a time to look back on his accomplishments. It was a time to reflect on his act of creation. And when we rest in worship, it's an opportunity for us to reflect back on the goodness of God, to reflect back on the ways that he has been active in our lives. And we can experience moments like that as we worship together. We can experience moments like that during communion, during times of silent prayer. During the singing, when we do more than just mouth the words, but we take those lyrics and we allow them to become the prayers of our heart. When we worship together, we break into the demands of our daily lives and we establish some rhythm to life. And we can experience refreshment in the presence of God. Rest, refreshment, and renewal. That's the goal of Sabbath rest. It's so much more than just a day off work. So how can you adjust your schedule so that community worship like this becomes a higher priority in your life? These are just a few ideas about how we can make God's Sabbath rest an ongoing part of our lives. And this is an issue we need to take seriously. It's not one to put on the shelf. It's one we need to actively think about because our culture will not help us embrace it. And we need to understand that if we want to experience a Sabbath rest, we actually are swimming upstream against the tide of culture because our culture does not have any sense of rhythm to life. We have to be intentional to embrace and experience this great gift that God has for us. Now, our God has made us to be productive. He's created us with the ability to work and to find satisfaction in what we do. But he doesn't want us to be slaves to our work. He wants us to be free. Free from the need to compulsively be doing. Here's the question we need to wrestle with. Based on what we've seen here in the Bible this morning, what changes might God be inviting you to make? What changes might God be inviting me to make so that we can experience the peace and the refreshment of God's great gift of Sabbath rest?